The Hawkesbury River ferries were also regularly towed from Pittwater down the coast to the RTA's Mortlake Slipway in Sydney. As ferry maintenance men with the Hawkesbury Council, Dennis Mitchell and Volker Helms, explain, Wiseman's Ferry on the Hawkesbury is one of the oldest and most important vehicular ferry crossings in New South Wales.
Yes, that was started by Solomon Wiseman. He was the, I think he was sort of in charge of the convicts down there at the time when they built the old North Road. He ran an inn down there and he started the crossing there for putting people across and cattle across.
The first crossing, it was more or less, it started from where they went with a rowing boat and the cattle had to swim behind it.
Yeah.
And they had a bank on each side where the cattle actually couldn't get out. That was the original crossing. Mm. The people, they rowed over, and if they had big cattle herd coming down, being out west into the country or the north, they had to swim behind the boat, or they herded them with two, three boats.
Yeah.
That's how the crossing started.
Yeah,
and that was the main road from Sydney to up north, Newcastle and Abbey.
Yeah.
The main road inland from Sydney went over Wiseman's Ferry long before Hawkesbury River at Brooklyn.
As well as the crossing being of such importance, the current Wiseman's Ferry is also of historical interest.
Like Wiseman's Ferry, what is the biggest one in the state, I think, it was original on steam, and you can still see where the coal bunkers were and where the steam boilers is all converted to diesel. Where it's still a river that hull came from a sugarcane country from up north. So I don't know exactly which crossings, and they used it there for the sugar. I think the sugarcane trains actually went on the ferry to the from the fields to the sugar refinery.
And the tracks on it.
Perhaps one of the most renowned events in the history of the Hawkesbury River vehicular ferries was the huge flood of 1978. Martin Halley recalls the events of three wet days in March and begins his account as he reaches Webb's Creek Crossing and sees a ferry drifting on the broken cable.
The river's roaring. There's whole trees coming down the river, bashing into the ferry, rolling underneath the hull and popping out the other side. The cables are strained, you know, and it's obvious why he couldn't pull the ferry into the shore, because the end guides had shattered.
Martin then set off to get bulldozers and tow trucks to assist in salvaging the ferry. Russ Mitchell, former head of ferry maintenance with the Hawkesbury Council, stayed on board to keep an eye on events as they unfolded.
He was a classic character, maintenance man with the Hawkesbury Council. A really tough, energetic man, larger than life. And he was on board this thing, and he's watching the cables, and he's watching what they used to call the king posts, which are the posts on each bank to which the cables are attached. Now, they're council property. They're very expensive to install, very expensive to replace. Cables are nothing much, but the posts are important. So he's sitting there waiting for something to happen. At last, the bulldozer arrives, just coming down the hill in his low loader, and the bloke on board the ferry says, "The king posts are pulling out, I'm cutting the cable." So he burnt through the cable with his torch, the thing took off down the road.
The Webb's Creek ferry drifted down the Hawkesbury River with Russ Mitchell aboard. When it reached the Wiseman's Crossing, it collided with the main Wiseman's ferry and the relief ferry moored at the crossing. The ferries broke loose and all three ferries began their epic three-day journey down the Hawkesbury River. There were more council workers on board the Wiseman's ferry, and at this stage, the three ferries were tethered together in the hope that they could be stopped. Martin describes one such attempt to stop the ferries.
By sheer chance, they drifted around this big bend, and they happened to drift into the calm area. You know, the current always sticks to the outside of the bend. They drifted to the inside. And the bloke on the Webb's Creek ferry, the strong, resourceful fella, threw a rope around a tree and somehow managed to get off the ferry, round to the tree and back onto the ferry and tie the thing up. And he stopped it. And for a minute, they were okay. And everybody said, beauty, emergency's over. But somehow during the night, the other two got away. I don't know how that happened. I can't understand it. But the two big ones became disconnected from the Webb's Creek ferry, which was tied up, and they took off down the river again. So we came down and we hopped in a dinghy and we went zooming down and we saw the Webb's Creek ferry. No damage, everything's fine. The two blokes aboard are happy as Larry. They're staying there in order to stop vandals coming aboard and wrecking the thing. And mind you, picking up the odd fridge that floats past, and they had their baskets full of watermelons, which had come down from the... having a great time.
Now from a reverse perspective, travelling up the river from Pittwater to meet the ferries was tugboat operator Laurie Duff, who had been called in to stop the ferries before they reached Peter Island Bridge. There was great concern that if the ferries crashed into the bridge piers, they may have collapsed under the impact. By this stage, the ferries and all the debris that had collected under them was estimated to have weighed 650 tonnes.
The seas were mountainous. We were into big swells off Palm Beach inside Pittwater at the time. Now we headed out to sea, because we had to go out to sea to run into the swell before we could turn around and come back upriver. And I was losing sight of the other tug. He wasn't that far behind me. He was just disappearing out of sight. That wasn't so much the problem. It was what was coming down the river in the dark towards you. Logs, caravans, trees, everything. You couldn't see until you were right on top of it.
Laurie sighted the ferries at Spencer and made his first attempt to stop them near Barara Creek.
Yeah, I lashed up alongside one car ferry, and I was getting myself in position, and it spun around, and I was on the inside of it. I went to let go to pull away, but when I went to go astern on the tug, it stalled. There was a log or whatever jammed into the propeller. It just stalled the engine. Oh, this is nice. And I was on the inside of everything, being pushed towards a sheer rock cliff. I thought, oh, we're finished before we even start here. And I ordered the two deckies off the tug onto the bars, and where I was, sort of up in the wheelhouse, I could have jumped the last minute before we hit the rocks. And I kept trying to start it. And eventually it did start. We couldn't do anything with them, all but steer them. And what our plans were to tow them down into the entrance of Barara Creek, Barara Waters there. And I was, had one tug alongside pushing, and I was shepherding the whole lot, steering around the bends in the river and that type of thing. And my plan was, as we got towards the mouth, the Barara Waters to come and pick up the tow line off the small council boat, and for me to start pulling with the other tug pushing, and get enough momentum to drag it in out of the floodwaters. But at this crucial point where I went up to pick up the tow line, the police boat come along and unfortunately tangled the tow line around the propeller. And the last chance I had was to push them in above the top of Pete Island, where the mental asylum is. And I said to one of my deckhands there, I said, well, once if we get to the shore, just run a rope around a tree and just hold and just play it like that, and just feed it out. Without taking, snapping the rope and breaking type thing. And I pushed it right across the rocks on the top of Pete Island, and there's smoke, and then he come out. He says, she's fairly dramatic. That tug at the time had rod and chain steering, which big heavy chains run down either side, and rods, steel rods, it still had the original steering in it. It was heavy. And I never, because you really had to put your shoals into it to spin the wheel all the time. Nice. I don't know how many thousand times I spun the wheel from one lock to the other. I never felt then, or it wasn't until the next day. Back. Shoals just starting to ache for days and days after. Just I never felt it at the time, because you're just too busy. And you'll never, well, I never ever experienced anything like it again.
Of course, floods happen on all rivers. Laurie Clifford, who operated several Richmond River ferries, talks about his experience of floods.
And I've seen times out there that there was so much debris coming down that river, if you happen to get caught out in the river, I don't know what had happened. Because you can't go, it'll stop you. Trees, logs, hyacinth, pieces of banks that wash off. There was one instance out there, I pretty nasty experience. The logs caught the ferry out in the river. Couldn't get in, we were out in the middle of the river. And we had this little boat that the fellow used to tow it down. And around these logs that were on the wire, there was an eddy that deep, big hole, you could look down in it. And this fellow made two blokes get out in the rowboat and try and get the logs off. And they lost their oars. The boat was rocking, geez, I was frightened.